Boomer in the Morning is on right now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Guests of the show, join us on the hotline, brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Come on in. Enjoy hockey and football game day specials. 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and delivery also available at Atlas Pizza. 403-248-3344. Boomer in the Morning with Ryan Pinder and Rhett Warner. We're here in the iconic downtown studios. Later this hour, Aaron Portsline, longtime beat writer for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The next opponent for the Calgary Flames, in fact, it comes tonight at 5 o'clock.
There you go.
From the Nationwide Arena. Right? Still?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You tell me. Never been there?
I've never been. No.
Don't know. Like, we have that client trip once a year. Where would that be on the power rankings? Hey, let's go to Columbus.
Yeah, that's a tricky one.
Like, you're in the 20s.
I think if you go early in the fall and you go to a Ohio State football game.
Ooh, now you're talking, yeah.
That would be the only thing, though, right?
You're not going for a Blue Jackets game.
No, you're going because...
Follow the Flames to the Buckeyes and Michigan State.
What else could you do? Cleveland's got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's it, right?
Cincinnati Reds game. Who cares?
Yeah.
Is there a more relevant team than the Cincinnati Reds?
Tell you what, though. How about those Bengals?
There's a couple of nice clubs in Columbus.
Is there?
Tell us about them.
Can't, but I did play my best game ever after staying up late.
Is it one of those clubs?
Or? You can't. Well, you can. You're just choosing not to.
Yeah.
You can say whatever you want.
Was it an Irish pub, Red, or what?
Yep. Just, yep.
Jello shots?
A lot of dancing.
Yeah. You do love dancing.
Yeah.
I am a big fan.
Yeah. Soft shoe?
I got friends that own dance studios. Yep.
Yeah, you do love.
Now, was there any brass in said dance hall?
Okay. So this evening, Columbus lost 2-1 versus Ottawa on Sunday.
Columbus stinks.
You made your mind up, eh?
Yeah, I'm fairly committed to it.
I'm trying to figure out where they're at. Like,
well,
they're
must
still
have been
all right,
because I feel
still...
like they've been dog shirt for the last month.
They got off to a great start this year.
Yeah.
They won 7 of their first 10.
They're better at home than away.
Huh? Most teams are.
Hmm. Boone Jenner leads them in goals with 16. Jenner, Bjorkstrand, Voracek, 27 points. The goaltending hasn't been good enough for them. I'm guessing that's probably a bit of a thing. We talked about Korpisalo. Thought going into this year that they were going to move one of these two guys, probably Korpisalo. Because I know we've been talking about Blue Jackets goalies for a while. You go even when Josh Anderson, was he going to come to Calgary? There was that. Maybe there's a goalie trade
too, and
involved.
They were sniffing around Monahan or Bennett going the other way. Look at that look like.
Korpisalo this year, a record of 4-8. Goals against, 3.96. Save percentage, .881.
You don't want to start with a 3 or an 8. That's what I've heard about either of those stats.
And he's got both.
Yeah, that's probably, it's not like multiplying negatives. That's probably really bad, not good.
Now, Elvis, 3.06, but his save percentage, .912, which again, either way, you need to be, it looks like they're a team that needs really, really good goaltending, and they're just not getting it.
They had to pick one. They're both 27. They extended Elvis on a multi-year deal at $5.4 million that goes till 26, 27. Korpisalo's up this summer. They've picked one.
They have. And the rumor was that among the goaltenders that the Oilers were ringing phones on, Korpisalo was one. But
why not?
But not
price too high.
I guess
that's what they're saying.
Wouldn't you, if you're a non-playoff team and you've got a goalie with a goals against of about 4 and a save percentage under 9, wouldn't you just? Oh, you'll take the 2.8. Well, let's get her done. What do you got?
Well, you're also talking to Edmonton. You'd be more desperate or less desperate in 2 months. They might be gambling that it's more.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see.
Either way, that's the Jackets situation.
Well, Koska Daddy didn't look too
what
good.
What are you laughing about?
I'm laughing, and I was just waiting for you guys to let me talk, because I don't talk enough, but then when I want to talk, I'm in trouble and I'm dumb. Anyway, there's a kid by the name of Jake Christensen playing played a couple games for Columbus here this year. And when I was helping the Flames out, he had gone to Stockton, and we tried to say, this is maybe, hang on to this kid. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? Free agent, pick him up, sign him, keep him around. He's might not be too bad. Well, in the NHL, played a few games and has, well, I think it's 20 points in 25 games in the minors. Anyway, I'm just laughing because they let him go for nothing.
So you could have those 20 points in Stockton, is what you're saying.
Well, it's another body that he's played in the NHL. It's maybe an option. What I'm saying is, could have just kept him for free.
Good story, Rhett. He's played three games.
I'm not saying that he's winning the Norris.
No, you couldn't with three games. You'd need to play more than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Any other posterizations we need to get done here? Any other dunks?
Yeah. The with trade deadline is still weeks and weeks away, and a lot of names. We're going to hear more and more, but we're already hearing about, what about this guy? What about that guy? I didn't realize until just the other day, and I said to you, Pinder, I think during a break or something, the one guy, you sure don't hear anything about Max Domi.
Mm-hmm.
Max Domi is a UFA at the end of the season. You don't hear about him as go get him in the offseason. Boy, available in trade.
26. That's weird you're not hearing about him, isn't it? This should be prime years for Max Domi, and yet somehow, some way, it's... Oh, yeah, he scored 28 with Montreal a few years ago. And
Arizona traded, he was taken 12th overall. Then they traded him to Montreal for Alex Galchenyuk. And remember, Galchenyuk at the time had a great start with Montreal. So, that's a weird one. And in a weird way, we know now about Galchenyuk. He's been on, 10 different teams, 8 different teams. He just moved around.
Was he not down to the minors with Toronto last year and then up in the playoffs playing?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And Max Domi, like you said, had 18, then went to Montreal, 28 in 82 games.
That's a really good season.
Tell me, Rhett.
This guy could score 30. Wow.
When you think of Max Domi, what's your gut in? What comes to your mind?
Energy. A pain in the...
Right.
Took us to play against. But I don't know if that's the case anymore.
He did not mesh well with Tortorella if you go back to last year. Centerman playing on the wing, didn't like that.
Torts didn't like him at center. This guy's not a centerman.
Yeah, he's like, this guy can't play center. He had 9 goals and 24 points in 54 games. Now, is he out of the league? Absolutely not. Is he overpaid perhaps at 5.3 per year? I guess at this point he is. But something has happened between 18 goals, 28 goals, 17, and now 17 over the last 2 years combined. I just wonder, and maybe I'm just talking to the wrong people, but you sure don't hear much about Max Domi as a enticing option for other teams.
Statistically a very weak defender, but a strong offensive player. And when you're not seeing the offensive numbers... 17 points.
How do you be strong offensively if you're not putting up numbers? I'm confused.
Well, when you look over his career, he's a guy that 28 goals as a 23-year-old, right? Like, you have an ability to finish. Like, we're not talking about Brett Ritchie here. We're talking about someone that's like, geez, that's a nice total there. And is flirted with a point per game in a year. So, like, there's offensive skills there, whereas every year throughout his career, it's not been known for tenacity defensively.
Gotcha.
Like shooting percentage and all that stuff. Decent offensive player, but...
He's playing one end of the ice?
Yeah, absolutely that. Mm-hmm. And I think when you ask what comes to mind, why do I think of his dad? Because it sounds like that's a bit of an issue everywhere he goes to.
Is he also involved in the deal?
I feel like whether you want it or not, the dad's coming in the deal.
We have acquired Max and Ty Domi. One will play for the team. Both will... talk to the general manager.
The other is now advising GM.
Yeah, something like that. And then there's Patrick Laine. And what do you do if you're Jarmo Kekalainen? You have Patrick Laine, who is 23 years old. He is still just
23.
He is a babe in swaddling clothes lying in a manger.
Oh, and he needs a new deal this summer. That'll be fun and easy and not a problem at all.
$7.5 million this year, RFA. Now, he has arbitration rights, but he's not at a clip that's going to give him any kind of I would guess, negotiating power.
Well, they
really,
got to qualify him at 7.5, but like,
yeah, but in terms of a long term, so do you just qualify him?
I think it's probably a short term thing because he's going to say, I'm a player that can still score 50, and they're going to say, well, we have to see it before we pay you.
You've got six.
And 7.5 is a lot of money for
15 points. Yeah.
So what do you do if you're Jarmo Kekalainen?
Tough spot. Trade him.
What are you getting, right?
Well, you got to find someone that's in love with him. Someone that says, this guy's going to fit perfectly in my team.
Send him down to the... He needs to be in the sun. The Finns, they like that sunshine.
Good for them?
Mm-hmm. They're not used to it. And they've never had that before. And they get it, and they're like, whoa, this vitamin D. Look out. I feel great.
Is that what it worked for Swoopy down in FLA?
Mm-hmm. Timu.
Yeah.
Timu and Anna. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Barkov loves it in Miami.
Oh, does he ever, yeah.
Don't they?
No.
You know?
There you go.
You're going to have to eat...
Yuri Lehtinen in Dallas?
So much of that $7.5 million, which I guess is fine. I guess you can do
Are
that.
You?
Who's got room for $7.5 million?
At the deadline?
For
lots, like Calgary does.
For...
Your teams are crew cap space throughout the year.
I would trade him right now and pay the money.
You probably take a bad expiring deal back. I don't think that's a hard deal to make. What you're doing is giving up on a guy that everyone thinks might score 50 in his career, but maybe less and less people every year, I guess.
The issue is, are you ready to give up on
exactly. him? Or do you want to do this again, where you go 1 year, 7.5, and see if you can put it together?
Which is why I kind of come back. Because the other thing is, too, I don't think Jarmo is a – he doesn't take – I'm guessing he would not take complacency well. Doesn't strike me as one of those kind of guys.
Torts didn't.
Torts was one of his guys, made that move because he pretty much had to make that move and get out from under Torts.
So tell me about the dynamic playmaking center Patrick Laine gets to work with in Columbus.
Well,
because they don't have one.
They don't really have one. Is
they have a rookie who's going to...
But surely he can go stand on a... half wall and rip one-timers on a power play and do better than 6 goals.
100%. Not saying that at all. I'm just saying if you want to get the most out of Patrick Laine, don't you find a playmaking center for him to play with?
But even
well, that's easy to do. Let's do that, Ryan. Hey.
But
give me a playmaking center, someone in the NHL. Let's go. Can't you see Patrick struggling?
20 games, he does not have a power play goal.
That's insane.
What's the deal? We'll ask Portsline, probably best equipped to answer it out of all of it.
What's the deal
with Patrick Laine? So it just feels like they've always got something, don't they, in Columbus? Either guys want out or they can't bring guys in, or then they trade to get guys and then they don't.
Sean Corrali has as many goals as he does.
Well, they got Zach Werenski moving up to $9 million next year. That's good.
Apparently that's a going rate for guys that play defense.
Yeah, if you're a young defenseman, you get $9 million.
Yeah.
Like 9.5.
You know what that contract was the moment they signed it? Don't leave Columbus premium. Seth Jones had just asked out. They've gone through the Bobrovsky-Panarin thing.
Holy.
It was, this guy likes it here. How much more do we have to pay him to keep him around? A very good player, but that's a premium to keep a guy in Columbus. We need a win.
That's all I got to say about that. Dude.
That's pretty good, yeah.
I did like the trade with Jones, though. They got about Adam Boqvist and what, a first? Sense.
They've got, I mean, they're going to have to rebuild this soon.
They are. That's what they're doing right now.
Well,
who is old and expensive that they have? Like, Voracek's, they did in an Atkinson swap. It's deck chairs. But everyone else is young enough. This is a super young team here. This is a rebuilding team that used to have Bobrovsky, Panarin.
I would say the issue with the rebuilding team is that you got guys like Domi and Laine that aren't helping things.
Not now, yeah. And Domi is I don't know that he's a UFA this summer. Are they bringing him back or are they getting him the H out of here?
And you go back to the Laine thing, I guess, for a minute, and not looking to bury the guy. But when that deal was made, fans in Winnipeg were disappointed because you gave up a young scorer who, when he's right, is thrilling to watch. But did you for a moment feel like it's going to work in Columbus? don't worry. Line A's going to go there, and a change of scenery is really going to matter.
Yeah, the meshing not with for, him and Torts right? is going to just be seamless, and he's going to take off.
Don't we feel that about Line A no matter where he's going to go or where he is? Like, at some point, it's all going to be. It's a guy that scored, what, 18 goals in 1 month? Like, that kind of talent, the way he shoots the puck, someone somewhere will unlock this and look like a genius. That's how I feel about him.
But you knew it wasn't going to be there. As much as Kekalainen needed to get something
for
Dubois.
Well, they fired Torts, and it's like, okay, well, let's see if this new coach can... Well, no, that's not working either.
No.
New coach has been there forever, hasn't he?
Yeah, he was the assistant.
Yeah. And hey, you know what, Rhett? I was looking this morning. If you're looking for a buddy to get you a gig, you've got one.
Hmm?
You've got one in Columbus.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Do you know who the director of player personnel and the general manager of the Cleveland Monsters is? The one and only, Chris Clark.
Huh.
Clarky, you want to move to Cleveland?
Didn't we just make, I could buy a whole block.
Push pucks for the Monsters?
Go watch the Gladiators play baseball?
You know what I mean? In the Cleve, you Guardians? And Joe Burrow?
I could be in the dog pound, absolutely. Look at my tattoo.
Cleveland, you got to be tough.
Yeah.
You fit the bill. Look, at half your PIMs were fights.
That's what they want in a player and a coach and a puck pusher. That's what they need. That kind of spirit.
Problem with my fights is I didn't win many.
Well, whatever, you know.
How's your video experience? You good with Exos?
It's easy. Again, you can also pay people like $7 an hour to do it for you. If you're smart.
Oh, you're mumbling. 7:30, we'll come back. Aaron Portsline. Blue Jackets Flames, we'll talk about it next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're locked on Boomer in the Morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Good buddy Luke Elvey coming up in hour three of the program. The Snow Show.
Go to Winsport today.
Weather is unbelievable.
Great skier out there. Got a little trivia for you.
Do you?
Okay, so the Winter Olympics are coming, right?
Yeah.
Beijing, like a couple weeks. Like next week, is it? The third, I think we get something
fourth,
going on?
Fourth, I thought. But anyway.
Crazy. What percentage of the Canadian Olympic team has trained or competed at Winsport at some point?
100.
Oh, that's incorrect. We'll move along.
110?
92.
66. It's very underwhelming now that you guessed those two numbers.
Oh.
Well, that's still nice. It's good for people to come to
Calgary. Olympic City. Let's go.
Of Canadian?
Of the entire...
Or of the world?
The Canadian.
66% of world athletes have trained in Calgary.
66% of the Cleveland Cavaliers have trained
really?
Hoops at the Oval. Yeah.
The Oval's a neat place.
Hmm?
The Oval.
It's interesting. You played those rinks in the middle? Did your kid ever had kid hockey there?
No, but it's...
It's weird. It's warm in there.
Yeah.
You sweat.
It's a weird
spot. You
gotta
go underneath the oval to get to the rinks.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lots going on. People sprinting around there.
Yeah. So the Calgary Flames head into Columbus tonight. Columbus this evening. St. Louis tomorrow. Who's your goaltender tonight if you're Daryl Sutter?
Might be time for Darth Vader.
No.
No?
No?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay. You going with Dustin Wolf? Who's your pick here? Adam Werner?
Let's go with Wolfman. Wolfman would be good. Love to see him come up. Right, Pinder? Get the kids some ice
time. He was
up.
He got some backup time while Vladar was out with the vid.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, right, going back to the last Vladar start, that's the Carolina game. He went back-to-back at the end of that road trip because
wild.
Markstrom was unavailable. He wasn't 100%. So Vladar, flirting with 3 weeks between starts. He'll start one of them.
Got to get him some action here, Dino.
I think I would go tonight with Vladar and Markstrom tomorrow, but that's just me.
Rhett, what are you thinking? Walk us through it.
Why Markstrom?
And again, it's like, I don't think it matters hugely, but that's you do have to pick one, right?
That's my reason. I don't think it matters. Pick one. They're both going to play a game.
do you like putting a goalie in there when he's had recent success against the club? Because that was Markstrom against St. Louis. Or do you completely wipe the slate with that St. Louis effort?
I think we're all smart enough to realize that Markstrom's play against the St. Louis Blues had nothing to do with how the team did.
Yeah, what were the shots at one point? 35-9?
Right. Like
they could have won that game 2-1, though, Rhett.
All they needed was two.
That's what Daryl told us. He told us that just the other day.
And?
So it doesn't matter how many goals, the goalie put you in a spot to win by a score of 2-1.
Okay, I'm still confused because St. Louis sucked.
They're really bad, yeah.
I'm telling you, trying to get towards. Not to redo yesterday's show, I can't think of another game where a team looked that out of sorts.
No, they didn't want to be there at all.
Goodness gracious. Fellas, we got a game tonight.
We don't want to be here, and I quit, so let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's go. Trade. We're trying to get a hold of Portsline. May happen, may not happen. We got 20 minutes here before the top of the hour. We'll see how it goes. 5 o'clock tonight at Nationwide. We'll have who does our games. Wills and Lubardius are going to do the games on the radio
Will
tonight.
Will Nelson and Peter Lubardius.
Not the case. The trade talks are heating up.
Are they?
All the insiders.
Well, we're 2 months away, so, you know.
I was going to say, that seems odd, the 2 months out. Or is it because the All-Star break's coming?
It's a late one. We're not quite at the All-Star break. I do wonder if a little bit has to do with the desperation maybe of some teams, how clear-cut it seems to be in the East. The teams that are in right now seem very much like they're going to be the teams that
go in. Yeah, you made this point last week, and I hadn't noticed it, and it's a really good point. I don't think you would be comfortable betting on a single team out of the playoffs today in the East by points percentage on getting in. There seems to be a bigger gap between 8 and 9 in the East than any two other spots in the standings.
Well, yeah. even if you're doing, because games are all goofy. It's goofy out there, though.
But
points percentage, it's not even close. Detroit's 500.
Yeah, the closest, oddly, is the New York Islanders.
New York Islanders, 4 or 5. 4 or 5.
Because they missed so many games. They have played 7 fewer games than Detroit. So they're winning. Their points percentage is 514. But, man, that's still well back of Boston at the 641. So, yeah, they need an incredible tear and something to go drastically wrong for Boston. But I do wonder if the clear-cut nature of that conference has a little bit to do with it. Tonight, it is in Columbus. Game one of the back-to-back for the Flames. They'll take on the Blue Jackets. First meeting, I believe, of this of the year for the Flames and the Blue Jackets, and a longtime friend of the program. He is he's a good boy. He's from OHIO. He is Aaron Portsline. What's going on, Ports? How are you?
Good, my man. Good. How are you doing?
We're fantastic. We're loving life up here. It's I don't know if you know the Fahrenheit Celsius thing, but we're above zero, so it's great for us.
Gravy.
We're so
outdoor dining and such.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Rhett's not wearing any pants right now, and it's 7:40 in the morning.
Never do.
New age, right?
Yeah,
it's called Zoom wardrobe. Yeah.
That's right. He's loving it. So, this game tonight, we're trying to figure out what the Flames are. We're trying to figure out what the Blue Jackets are, and I guess just to kind of lead you in, we were talking, albeit long ways out, but the trade deadline, and wondering if the clear cut nature of the playoff teams in the East. Are you of the opinion that who's in is in and who's out is out, and there just can't be a change because of how the math works?
I mean, the only thing I think, the only horse I see with a chance to get back in the pack is maybe the Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've waited a bit long. It's going to be, but they've got games in hand a lot. Otherwise, I think it's done. I think there are a lot of teams like Columbus that the talks can begin now, or at least the planning can begin now, as to who's the keeper and who you're moving. I don't think there's too much mystery now.
I guess it's in a way, unfortunately, kind of a familiar spot for Jarmo Kekäläinen, and certainly not this far out. The Blue Jackets, are they rebuilding? We were kind of talking about this. What are they right now? Are we looking at a team that's in the rebuild?
Oh, for sure, yeah. Yes. And that decision was made last summer. I think people will look back on the Seth Jones situation. You think about all of the players here who have left in various ways or declined to sign. And I think this organization, this fan base, and most realize they owe Seth Jones a big old thank you. Not that he left. I'm not being bitter. I'm saying by letting them know his plans so far in advance, a year out before UFA, by letting them know which teams he would consider signing with long-term, obviously Chicago fit, they could begin working on a trade with Chicago. It gave them clarity. They did really well, I think, in that trade. Most would agree. But it also was a clear indication. They're not trying to keep this banded together in any way anymore. They are clearly embarking on a new path. So, you know, they had 3 first-round draft picks last summer. They've got 2 next year, Chicago's next year, so they could have
top 10 potentially.
Really sweet picks, yeah. And I think they're still going to be in this funk probably next year looking at the draft after that, the Connor Bedard draft. So they are, you know, rebuild. It's weird how we get tired of words and words become associated with certain things. They're reluctant to use the word rebuild. They say restart. They say, you know, rekindle. They say read this. That it's a rebuild. Let's not kid ourselves. And no one knows how long it takes, because you don't know how these young players are going to develop it or at what pace. So they are 100% in the early stages of rebuilding this. They're doing it, I think, the right way, really the only way a market like Columbus can do it. But so begins the process. And this is the hard part. This last summer was fun, trading Jones for picks and prospects. Everybody's happy then. If you're into this sort of thing, the future is so bright, the fans can easily dream about it. This is the drudgery, these next couple of months before you get to college free agent signings, before maybe Kent Johnson comes to Columbus from Michigan, maybe Kirill Marchenko from Russia. Things will start to pick up again here around the spring, but it's going to be a slog here until then.
They got a couple expiring contracts in Korpisalo, who at one point looked like a number one in the NHL, and Max Domi, who at one point looked like he might be a 30-goal scorer. Do you expect significant returns for them, or is there a path for either to return?
Yeah, I mean, I would be shocked if either were back, to be honest with you. Domi, for sure, I think, is on the block, available. I don't think there's any anticipation that he's going to re-sign here. Korpisalo is, you know, they've committed to Elvis Merzlikins, and they've got a young prospect, young guy right on the cusp, and Danil Tarasov, who has looked really good in the NHL. So at Korpisalo, the Korpisalo move has been, it's almost like this move has been anticipated for 3 years, and somehow for Korpisalo is still here in this backup capacity. Looked like he was going to challenge for this top job when Bobrovsky moved along. The other name I think could very easily move is Jack Roslovic, who this is his home. Much was made of him coming home and his career really launching here into its prime, and just has not been a fit. Both he and Domi are both on the same line. Both of them end up playing very little in third periods when games are close. Even when the team needs a goal, even when the team is down, they're not running Domi and Roslovic out there. I'm writing a Dubinsky story. That's how it's in my head. Those guys have been buried under 10 minutes a night some nights. So I think both of those guys are possible. And I think you should be prepared for surprises too. Maybe Gus Nyquist, who's played really, really well. He still has a year left at 5.5 after this. So that's kind of tough. But I think he's a guy that could draw some interest from playoff teams as well.
So what is Max Domi? We go back to last year in Torts. You know, here's a center, but he's playing wing. A guy can't play center. And now he's with Brad Larsen, and he is a winger. Is this a centerman who's begrudgingly playing the wing? What? Because we were looking this morning, don't hear a whole lot about him as a trade chip, and I guess that can heat up in the next couple months. Or a pending UFA, but yet there's the numbers aren't terrible. So what is Max Domi on, off the ice, the whole, when you put it all together in the package?
Well, I think he's a winger. I think they think he's a winger. He may still think he's a center. The one thing I want to see with Max Domi is I want to see Max Domi on a really good team, because I don't think we've seen that. I think we've seen him have really good seasons in places and everywhere he's been. He was a really good player here the first month of this season, and it's just tailed off big time. He's back to where it was last year, where you just weren't sure what he was. Now, there are some nights where he cranks it up and, you know, it seems to be an impactful player. It hasn't worked here. And it's a tough one for me because Josh Anderson was such a big, unique, forceful player, such an important player for this team in that 2019 series against Tampa Bay, such a big part of that. And those big hulking forwards like that, you let one of those guys go, man, you want to get one of those guys back. And Domi just has been just okay. I think he's long gone by the trade deadline. I don't think there's any mystery around that, but I think there's some intrigue there because he's a talented player. He is a talented player. And again, I want to see him as the fourth or fifth offensive option, maybe even a plus third line guy on a really good team. I think he could make a big impact that way.
It's funny. We were talking about the Dubois line deal. I'm like, man, maybe there wasn't as much star power in that deal as we thought. The Anderson Domi deal, same thing. Like, neither of them are at 10 goals. They both had disappointing offensive seasons.
Yeah. It's crazy too. And you look at some of this, like Cam Atkinson, Jake Voracek. Voracek has played pretty well here. Cam's had some great moments in Philadelphia, but you know, I keep hearing that it worked out for both teams. Well, not really. Philadelphia is just in a major funk right now. The Blue Jackets are where they're at. What about Jake Voracek? I think it's a bit premature to talk of him being traded here. He still has two more years after this. But this is a player as part of the rebuild, you could see. I think one thing to keep in common too, or in mind, and this is with Korpisalo especially, this organization, I think, is going to try to take care of Korpisalo. I think they would try to take care of Nyquist. They would try to take care of a Voracek and put them in a place where they feel like they can have some success because of the way that they've handled themselves. And then I think there are other players where it's like best offer, and I think Domi falls into that camp.
Aaron Portsline, our guest, covers the Blue Jackets with TheAthletic.com. Jarmo Kekäläinen, I was looking this morning, 9 years coming up in February, he'll be in charge of the Blue Jackets as general manager. There's been, obviously, as it goes, some up years, some down years. I don't know how you would characterize his reign as general manager, and I ask this not trying to lead you into anything, but what is the opinion of him and his work as he gets into year number 9? Is there heat on him, or what is the situation as he sits in Columbus?
Well, I think the heat has been dialed back considerably with the return of John Davidson from the Rangers back to Columbus. So now the front office is structured in much the same way it was before JD left to go to the Rangers a few years back. You know, that move, when it first happened, you wondered how Jarmo might handle that because he went from being, you know, an employee under John Davidson to then being the top of hockey operations. And then Davidson comes back and now he's got a boss again. Well, you get used to not having a boss. Having a boss again, the same old boss you had before, may not be a desired situation. I think on the flip of that, though, is John Davidson gives Jarmo Kekäläinen a lot of elbow room. And in fact, when he came back, they extended Kekalainen's contract. So he now has 4 years remaining as GM of the Blue Jackets on his current deal. That is forever. That is all you can ask for as a GM who's undertaking a rebuild. It's pretty clear John Davidson sees Jarmo Kekäläinen as his GM. And so I think he is safe here. I think they are all on board with where this needs to go. Jarmo came up as a scouting GM, a guy that looked after his scouts. I think it's a checkered past here in the draft with the Blue Jackets, as it is for every organization. If you look close enough, that's the thing that needs to be really important now, because they've got to hit on these. You can't have these seasons just spent in vain. You lose like they're doing this year. The reward is that draft pick. And to blow it, you waste all of the suffering you've endured for that previous year. We've seen that way too many times in Columbus, Ohio. So that's the challenge before them. I think they feel like Jarmo is their guy, and I think most fans here are on board with it, at least for now. You can pick out the little the little shimmering pieces of joy, if you will. Cole Sillinger, 18 years old in the NHL. Chinnikov playing significant minutes and significant time. They're really young in the blue line. You can see the young pieces coming, but you know how patience works in the National Hockey League and pro sports. It can run out pretty quickly.
Did want to ask you, I know that Ryan brought it up about Patrick Laine. No one has the answers, not he, not Torts, not you, not me, but still surprised to see this guy is 23. I mean, he's just a kid. $7.5 million, the contract comes to an end, but he is an RFA. He has arbitration rights, but on paper is not really putting up a season where he's going to be able to barge into an arbiter's room and have a bunch of sway. No power play goals this year, just 6 in all. What's, I guess, give me your synopsis of what Laine is right now for the Blue Jackets, or just as a player.
Yeah, so, you know what, Laine came to camp this year in a much different mental spot and physical spot than he was the year before. He was not a good hockey player last year for the Blue Jackets. When camp started, he was a standout. When the season started, he looked like a dominating player again, point a game, more than a point a game. And then he got injured. And you know what? He's been through a rough couple of months, first with the injury, second with the passing of his father, who was his closest, biggest fan, his closest supporter, Patrick said upon his return that this was the first game of mine that my father didn't watch. Heartbreaking. So what is he going through? How is it affecting his game? This is a tough choice. This is a really tough situation for the Blue Jackets because, as you said, this is a 23-year-old player with sublime talent, like rare ability. It's an overused phrase in sports, but he is a unicorn in hockey. There's just no other player like him. That's the kind of guy typically you'd want to put your arms around and have him be part of your rebuild, which you're undergoing. He's 23. But I don't know where it goes with him because this is a big ticket player already based on his early career performances. If they re-up him for one more year as an RFA, I think he's at $7.5 million, might be $8.5 million. Are you going to go long-term with him based on the sort of choppy play? Brad Larson, the coach, just 2 days ago said he's not pleased with the way Laine is playing, but they're not going to let this go down the path that it went last year. And they're going to meet, they're going to talk, they're going to get through this together. It's a pretty honest quote. This is a huge decision. I think he's a decision that hasn't quite been made yet, but you talk about big trade chips and for a rebuilding team, that's your difficult call, what to do with this player. Because I think there are arguments both ways.
Lots of Joe Burrow love, or what is it in Columbus, yeah. Right? Are we jacked for the Bengals, or how's this go?
Well, there are Bengals fans, of course. We're not equally between Cleveland and Cincinnati, but it's pretty close. The city's always been sort of split. I think this city, Columbus, wants to love the Browns more than it does the Bengals. Not a lot of reason at times to do that. I've heard a lot of – I know people right now that are Bengals fans that I never knew were Bengals fans, put it that way. But Joe's an Ohio boy, Joe Burrow. He's from Athens, Ohio, home of Ohio University. So he's got a ton of support. And even a Browns fan like me finds it somewhere in his heart to support Joe Burrow, and I'd like to see the Bengals do well. I don't hate the Bengals anymore.
Well, that's the kind of guy you are, though. It's not that
easy.
You're
so bad for so long. How can you feel any hatred towards a team that's had that kind of misery, right?
Right? Well, yes. Although, you listen, the Browns-Bengals, it used to be a thing. It hasn't been a thing for 20 years, so. I'm okay. I'm a bigger person. I can move on.
So what's going on with Baker?
Baker's just been under the knife. He's going to dial back social media.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I hope he turns down the rabbit ears. I hope they get him some receivers. I hope he gets his mechanics back after basically spending, I can't imagine, playing 13 weeks with a separated shoulder and other injuries. It's ridiculous. They got to stick with him for another year.
You like him?
You know what? You watch Mahomes, you watch Allen, you watch, you go, boy, Burrows. Boy, is that what that's going to be? Can Baker get to that? I don't know.
I think the answer is no, Aaron. I hate to break it to you. I'm going to go with no, and I mean, crush me when I'm wrong, but I'm going to take the no on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tough one.
I mean, there are times he's looked really good.
Yeah, sure.
But it's been a while.
Yeah. Be good, man. We'll be watching tonight. Good to always catch up with you. Take care of yourself, all right?
Yeah, well, thank you. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure, guys.
Yeah, you bet, man. Be good. There's Aaron Portsline. Ohio guy, Columbus guy, long time, I think right from day one. He has been covering the Blue Jackets since their entry into the NHL. Good guy. I like the accent, too.
They've done pretty well in some of these swaps. Like you're asking.
Ohio. Ohio. Joe Burrow. He's from Ohio. How don't you like Joe Burrow? Be tough. If you hate the Bengals and you're a Browns guy and you're looking at things, it's like, boy, this Jamar Chase pretty good, eh?
The backstory is unreal, too. You
Burrow's
read about
all right.
His upbringing. There's a lot of, like, factory farm, you know, we're going to pay for our kid to be a great. That's not Joe Burrow's story.
No.
Dirt under the nails. Ohio guy. Love to see it.
Can they win Sunday in KC?
I mean, it's the
after watching KC play, I don't think you can think that.
It's hard.
And yet in the same league, in the same season, the Jaguars beat the Bills. Like, this is weird things happen, right? I certainly wouldn't want to bet that they'd win, but I mean, if Pat Mahomes goes down in the first series with an injury, I think they got a chance.
I mean, is it crazy to think that we come in on Monday and the storyline is, well, Kansas City, that Bills game, that was their Super Bowl. They got up for it, knew they had to be good. Letdown game, Cincinnati came in. How about this Joe Burrow kid? Is he amazing? I don't know. It's a long shot for sure, but I think there is something special with those Bengals. We'll come back. Luke Elvey. Chalker? Chalkers.
Well, Alaska, I don't know.
Something about Chalkers.
Togs. Chalkers.
Yeah, with our boy. Now, sorry, I did jump on you. Did you have a final thought on the Blue Jackets?
Well, I mean, it's they had two firsts last year. They have Chicago's first that they added last year in the Seth Jones deal. Sillinger's already arrived. Shinnikov was the pick where everyone was scrambling to figure out who the kid was. He's already here. It looks like their two picks in the first round could both be top 10 this year, Chicago's pick. Boqvist is a great young player. Tarasov's on the way behind Merzlikins. Like, they're going to be good. It's just waiting's the hardest part.
That's right, Tom. Going back to 2017, their first three picks, Alexander Texier, he's been good. Tarasov, the goalie you just mentioned, and Emil Bemström, all three of them are on the roster. Liam Foudy, first rounder in 18, he has played.
Is he Newfoundlander, I believe?
And then you go Chinnikov, like you said, and Kent Johnson was fifth overall.
Just going to say, he just got named to the Olympic squad as an alternate yesterday, if I'm correct.
I mean, he's a college kid. He's not playing. Sillinger went right to it. But Kent Johnson is still regarded as an absolute stud.
Going to the Olympics, baby.
So, be all right.
Johnson,
Come on now. We'll come back. We'll talk to Luke Elvey.
Nine Canadians in a PGA event for the first time since the 70s outside of the Canadian Open. That's amazing.
Sportsnet 96.